The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Is with us. He is the Irish Independent's travel editor, and he's here to talk about how to stay safe on your holidays. Before we get into that poll, given what we're seeing with Aer Lingus, you might talk a little bit of how to stay financially safe when you're booking your holidays. What should you look at now? Because I think people who may never have thought before of, I better get travel insurance, or I better check what's the refund policy. What's the guide when you're booking a ticket to make sure that if anything does go wrong, strike action or anything else, you're looked after?
So there's a few things you can do. First of all, travel insurance should be in your toolkit. If you fly even more than once or twice a year, or travel more than once or twice a year, look at getting an annual policy, and look at getting a family policy. The reason for that is that a lot of people take out insurance just before they're going to go. Some don't take it at all. And if you're taking out travel insurance now, you're not going to be covered for the Aer Lingus pilot strikes or the works to rules. You can't be insured for an event that's already happened. So it's a good idea to have it year round.
What kind of stuff does it cover? Is it medical expenses when you get there? Is it flight cancellations, compensation? What?
Good. It's a bit of all of the above. So there's the health and the medical side of it. Goes all the way down to evacuation, should that be required. Hopefully not, obviously. You need to declare any pre-existing conditions that you have when you're taking out your travel insurance. They'll ask you that. And then on the other side of it, it's all the practical stuff like, if you lose your, miss your departure, if you lose stuff on holidays, if you need to incur extra expenses with accommodation and so on due to delays. There's an additional, you've probably talked about this, but just it's worth going over again. There's an additional thing you can add called travel disruption cover. And so that's if you miss a flight or there's disruption to your holiday on foot of events like strikes or weather and so on, it adds an extra €1,000 or so for covering accommodation and things that you need to tack on. But that's, again, you need to add that, and you can't add it now for this eventuality. So as a rule of thumb, all of this adds up. All the insurers will say, we'll give you insurance for the year for, bargain basement price. But once you add all these on, it's not so bargain basement. But the way I view it is that it's a protection for you and your family. So just do it.
What's your expectation for the passengers who are finding themselves impacted by the Aer Lingus dispute? Because we're talking numbers, tens of thousands, 30,000. I assume that's going to put a lot of stress on Aer Lingus's capacity to process the claims that will come in. Do you think everybody will get dealt with and get the compensation they're owed?
I do. As to whether or not the compensation is a complicated one, because it depends on how much notice you get, and it depends on the distance of your flight and all the rest of it. So, but I do think they will get through it all. We saw that, like, during COVID, when Dublin Airport had to process all of the what it said it would, it did get resolved over a period of several months. But Anton, the knock-on effect of this is, like, we all know you're either booked to fly Aer Lingus or you know someone who is, and the stories range from leaving cert students looking forward to their first big breaks away to people who have to attend weddings or funerals and so on. And there's a real fallout from this. I myself was looking at booking a flight to London in September, and I wobbled and said, oh no, should I book that with Aer Lingus? So you can see the kind of the reputational image or impact that is happening. If you book with a travel agent, it's worth saying, as a package holiday, you have that bit extra protection, and you have someone in your corner who will help do a bit of the heavy lifting, and they'll be the ones getting on the phone and helping you rearrange things.
Now, that's if you can get it. A text saying, I'm a sprightly pensioner over 70 and I can't get travel insurance for love nor money.
Yeah, this is it's a difficulty for older people to get it. Now, there are one or two out there, but I need to just double check what they are. But I can tweet that or share it with you after. But it's certainly hard to get that. One other point about travel insurance: young adults on family policies. So think about your 18-year-old who's just done their leaving and is going on their first independent holiday overseas. They won't be covered on the family policy for that trip. They need to have their own insurance. On a family policy, they're only covered if they travel with the family or if they travel with the school on a supervised trip. So that's important to check.
That's insurance. What are the other things then? If we want to make sure that we have a safe and secure journey, what else do we need to think about?
I'm sounding very parental here this morning, but with all that's going on with the flights and everybody making sure, that they get away in the first place, it's easy to overlook this stuff. Have your EHIC card.
Your
European Health Insurance card. It was formerly the E111. I'm sure you have it in a drawer somewhere, no?
You're talking to somebody who doesn't know his PPS number, so I may not be the best person on this.
This is a public card you can get for free. and it entitles you to public health care in the EU or EEA states for free, same as you could get in Ireland. So I have.
That's handy to have.
Yes, very handy. You apply on ehic.ie. Our family have used it in Spain and gotten free healthcare. And anyone who's gone through the Spanish healthcare system will tell you what a delight it is, sometimes in comparison to the Irish one. It's a brilliant little piece of plastic and it's free to have. So make sure you have that for you and for your family. And then the other stuff is the passports.
On the topic of passports,
yeah,
what is the story with this thing of passports being ineligible for use 6 months before they expire? Surely if I'm going on holidays and I am coming and going 2 months from now, what does it matter if my passport expires in 6 months?
Well, in the EU, you're grand. In certain countries, they have a requirement that your passport remains valid for 6 months after your trip. God, look, the mysteries of immigration and different countries' policies, I do not know. But I can tell you they include Turkey, Thailand, Egypt and Dubai. So now you don't go and say, I'm going for 2 weeks in Turkey. And OK, the 6 month period starts when you return. So what I do as a rule of thumb.
So let me get this straight. My passport, let us imagine, it goes out of date in October.
Yes.
I can't go to Turkey and come back between now and October.
You need to have a validity for 6 months
even
after.
Though it's a valid passport, Paul.
Yeah. So here's what you do. Check the date of expiry on your passport, Anton, and put into your calendar or whatever you use for your reminders, say 7 or 8 months before it's due to expire, and do the same for your kids. Remember that your kids' passports expire after 5 years, not after 10 years. That one, it easily catches people out. Those 5 years whiz by. And then when you have the ping come in, just action it and try not to be doing it in July. I know it's easier said than done.
What are the other things then that because the EHIC card is a case in point. Anything else that we should be bringing with us to keep us safe and secure?
I'll tell you that. Just one other thing quickly on passports. Check for rips or tears. I had a reader contact me recently who was denied boarding on a flight to Thailand because of a very small tear to a page of her passport. Now, most countries...
An inner page?
Yes, inner page and not the biodata page. Other. So check for anything like holes punched or if you've written on it or you've put in a souvenir stamp or if it's gotten water damage. That all sounds obvious, okay? You need to replace the passport. But if there's a tear to a page, you need to replace it
as
well. What
about boarding agents sticking stuff on them? Because a lot of the time they paste stuff on the passport.
On the outside of it. So that's okay, but you don't want it to get on the inside. And I use a passport cover for that. That's the one that's defaced and all the rest of it. So it gives you a bit of extra protection. So just when you're flicking through to check the date, have a look for rips or tears. Some countries are stricter than others, but it's a very real case, particularly with Thailand and Indonesia.
When you're out there, do traveler's checks still exist?
Oh my God.
Do you remember a traveler's check? That was always the thing you had to have.
Oh, it's like we just
tickets,
got in a time.
Passport, visa, traveler's check.
Yes, rolls of film for your camera. I don't know.
I would love to hand somebody a traveler's check just to see what they do with it.
This is a good point in that so much of your travel goes through your phone these days. So the minute you said that to me, I was thinking of tapping for payments, using Revolut or whatever for overseas, having my boarding pass on my phone, taking a photo of my passport. So it's essential to have backups of all of that. And if your phone, particularly if you're going on a night out and your phone dies, just to have thought that through. So we're kind of straying into the...
No, but that's particularly important. You go on the boat trip around the Greek islands, you lean over the gunwale and you watch your phone disappear into the Aegean. And that's the point at which you think, I hope I have a printout of all this stuff at home.
Exactly. I bring it, I usually put it on, say, have an email that you share or you can access your email from a desktop computer or print out. You'll need, so if you're, for example, a younger adult going on your post-leaving cert holiday, have the number of your travel agent, have the hotel address and have the backup phone numbers. Take a picture of your passport and send it to your own email or send it to your family as well. Incidentally, the Department of Foreign Affairs has a campaign on travel safety and health at the moment called Make the Right Memories. So you can see what they're getting at here. They recommend using location sharing when you're out and about, particularly with a group. But it's a chat. If you're a group of young people going away by yourselves, that you should have. Are we sticking together? What happens if we get split up? Are we, we're making sure we go home together, etc. Don't leave your drinks unattended. Unfortunately, drink spiking is becoming more of an issue. So it's commonsensical stuff that often just needs to be said aloud and you have a little chat. Oh yeah, we'll leave one person at the drinks, or no one goes home alone, and you come to your own arrangement. It can be a tricky conversation for parents and kids to have, but I sometimes find once you just name it, it
do you put
the seed.
Trackers, air tags, that kind of thing, tiles, whatever they might be on all and sundry? Do you put it on children? Bags, suitcases, spouses.
Luckily, my kids are a little bit older. I have never used air tags. I try and go with the cabin luggage as much as I can these days, but just to try and avoid that whole eventuality in the first place. Air tags, yes, I do have colleagues who swear by them. And I've said I'm going to give it a try in the next couple of months. But just bear in mind that the air tags don't stop your luggage going missing in the first place. They may help you find it.
Text say, my travel insurance says it only covers travel that begins in Ireland. My daughters are going on holidays with friends, but they're meeting them in London first and moving on from there the following day to Montenegro. Does that mean the trip to Montenegro would not be covered as they are not going direct from here?
That's odd.
Weird one, isn't it?
I'm a bit surprised by that. So rather than me hazard a guess, call the travel insurer and clarify.
And a text to say, I've said it for years that basically you only get a 9-year, 6-month passport, not a 10-year one. And the turnaround using Passport Express in the post office is no longer 10 working days. It's 8 weeks.
No, that depends on the type of renewal. I renewed mine and my son's recently. Mine was back within 10 working days, but my son's took several weeks. It depends whether it's a first time passport, if it's been lost or stolen, if you're changing a name. So, for example, you get married and you're changing your surname, or if kids, the guardianship forms need to be witnessed. They all take longer, and they all take a bit longer in peak season. A quick piece of advice for people heading away on their post-Leaving Cert holidays as well. Sorry, Anton, but don't use your passport as ID on the night out. Have a national ID card or have the passport card. It's too easy to lose the passport or get it ripped or water damaged or drop it in the sea, whatever you're going to do.
Use a card and a letter set, Paul.
you suddenly then have a whole other set of problems. So that's have an alternative ID for going out.
Paul, thanks very much. That is Paul O'Connell.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.